today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
Sometimes you post something and you're like, wow, like that is my best work. And then sometimes it's like, meh, but that's one that ends up being one of the photos that my kids will see and they'll be like, oh, I remember that day. In my mind, I was like, you got to bring it back home because that's what this is for. This project is for them. And after 5 years, like, you know, I've been photographing the same children in the same house for 5 years. So it's like, how can I reignite this space? I bring it back to the details because we live on Vancouver Island, which I don't know if you've looked it up, but it is gorgeous. I always do these big, expansive, beautiful shots of my kids in, you know, in this wonderful place. But I often forget to photograph just the tiny details.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your photography skills. Raymond interviews the world's top photographers in their field to ask questions that will get you taking better photos today. Now, with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey, welcome back to this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. As always, I am Raymond Hatfield, your host and Indianapolis wedding photographer. I'm excited today for today's interview. As you'll hear in the interview, I've reached out to members of the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group to ask them, who do you want to hear from this year? Who would be your dream interviews? And this is starting on that path. So last week interviewed Andy Mumford, which was an incredible interview. This week I'm interviewing another incredible photographer at the suggestion of the group, and I'm having a blast. My views of, or I guess my scope of knowledge for other photographers is getting broader and broader by the day. And today's interview is one that I know that you will enjoy. So first, though, if you're listening to this episode the day that it comes out, like right now, I am probably at a Dodgers-Giants spring training game. That's right. I am so excited for this. The whole family, we are actually tonight, as the day that I'm recording this, tonight we're packing up the car and we are driving out to Arizona to surprise my mother, who we haven't been out there to Arizona to meet her. She just always flies out to us because it's easier for her instead of having, you know, the four of us get on a plane and go out there. So we're actually driving out to Arizona, and while we are there, I'm so excited to go to this Dodgers-Giants spring training game. And what's even better is that the other day there was a Dodgers-Giants spring training game and the Dodgers won 8-2. Take that, Giants. So anyway, if you're listening and you kind of want to follow me along, I want to invite you to follow me along on Instagram. My Instagram username is rhatfieldphoto. It's all one word, R as in my name, Raymond, R Hatfield Photo. And that's it. I'll be posting some Instagram stories, posting some work as well. Or not work, but I guess like family stuff, which I got inspired to do after today's episode. Okay, so we are going to get on into this interview right now. I'm going to keep it nice and short. We're going to get into this interview right now with Ashley Marston. This interview, like I said, came from a suggestion from one of the members, Carrie, in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, where I'm trying to always answer questions, but I also ask my own questions. So if you're interested and you want your voice to be heard, join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. Just search for it in Facebook, Beginner Photography Podcast, and it will pop up. You answer three quick questions and you are in. So that is it. Okay, we're going to get into today's interview with Ashley Marston. Today's guest is Ashley Marston, a birth and family photographer from our neighbor to the north, British Columbia, Canada. Professionally, her work has received notable awards from the International Association of Professional Birth Photographers. And personally, her work has been recognized most recently by National Geographic. And today, I can't wait to get into talking about shooting professionally and personally. So, Ashley, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. This is an interview that this is like a series of interviews that I've been doing where I've been reaching out to the listeners of the Beginner Photography Podcast and asking if you could have anybody on the podcast, who would it be? And your name came up. So I am so excited to have you on.
Awesome.
And I know that it's just going to, as a wedding photographer, I don't shoot children. I don't shoot really anything else.
Yeah.
So being able to talk to other photographers and hearing their stories is not only helpful to me, but I know that it's going to expand the horizons of our listeners. So again, thank you so much for coming on. Like I mentioned in your intro, you've received awards for your work, but I'm sure that, you know, you didn't just wake up yesterday and thought, I'm going to get into photography and start winning some awards. So can you share what drew you into photography in the beginning?
Well, I think I started like a lot of mom photographers in the past 5 years. My son Noah was born 13 years ago. He's 13, my oldest. And my husband had an old film camera in the closet. And so I dusted it off. And that's kind of where it began. But I would just kind of experiment with that for about 5 years before I finally kind of went digital. And that's where it took off for me. So
why is that? Why did it take off for you once you started shooting digital?
I think that it's just a lot easier to experiment when you're shooting digital because you can see it, you know, instantly. Whereas with film, it would definitely took, the progress was a little bit slower for me, but it just got me used to composition and documenting our life and documenting being a mom and my son. And so we have albums and albums of of photos of Noah, just because I just went through so many rolls of film. So,
you know. So in the beginning, when you had that film camera and you picked it up for the first time, do you remember what that, like, what shot was it that you took where you thought, you know what, I'm really enjoying this and I think that I can take it somewhere?
There was a shot, my husband is First Nations and he's an artist, he's a carver. And so we have, you know, various sort of, artifacts around the house. And we had a woven cedar hat and Noah was outside on the sun deck and he was wearing this cedar hat and he was just sitting up, like he was maybe 8 or 9 months old, and the shadows coming through the hat and on his face. And that's one of my favorite pictures. And that was the time where it was kind of clicked for me. And it was like, okay, this is how I'm seeing this moment. You know, and then to get the film back and see that it actually had translated from my mind to, you know, to the image was like, you know, felt like I was doing something important. It felt like for our family and for myself.
It
felt good.
How long do you think it was from the time that you first picked up that camera till the time that you got that shot and realized that the creative gap that you had in your head to the photo that you got in your hand was very similar? Was that like a years long progression or was it pretty quick?
It was pretty quick, but like I had been artistically inclined throughout high school. I actually took photography in high school. So I think that made the gap a little bit closer for me, that I'd kind of had already a bit of a jump start on it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, photographing children and things like, I mean, very different, obviously. So, but he wasn't moving too much at that point.
That sure does make it a whole lot easier.
It makes it easier. Yeah.
So can you tell me again how long you were shooting film before you switched to digital?
I guess 4 years.
Okay. So that 4 years, shooting film, shooting your family, these things that you loved, what would you say was the hardest part about the technical side of photography for you to learn? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
I don't know what the hardest, the composition came okay to me. And I think just learning light, was what I worked on the most, for those years. And of course you know, it came a lot quicker and easier once there was a digital camera in my hand and I could really kind of see what I was looking at.
Can you expand a little bit more on learning to shoot with light?
Well, I knew in my, like, I could see in my mind, like, I was noticing it all the time. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of before things were, you know, on the internet, and it would just catch my eye a certain way. And so the kids, and I would just move, you know, I'd start moving the kids into the light, and just exposing for the shadows and things like that, where I felt that that's where I was kind of really honing in on what I wanted to do and see. In the beginning, everything was, you know, overexposed. And I said, well, that's not right. That's not how I want to see it. That's not how I see it in my mind. So that was kind of how I moved in that progression, slowly at first. And then it kind of just came. And then I just kind of, it clicks, right? It clicks all of a sudden. And then you're like, right, okay.
There's always that aha moment when it comes to photography of, you know, you feel like you're struggling so hard in the beginning. Yeah. Even like every little thing that you learn feels like you just like crossed over this mountain. Like, oh my gosh, this is totally making sense. And as time goes on, the mountain gets smaller.
Why didn't I see that the whole time?
Exactly, right? Exactly. But at some point, there's one mountain that is just so tall that when you get up to the top of it, you say, oh my gosh, why didn't I see this the whole time? Everything makes sense now.
Yeah.
And I love to hear that because usually it is a technical aspect, you know, either like, oh, the relationship between, you know, ISO and shutter speed. But hearing you say, no, it was the light. It was paying attention to the light, finally being able to see it. I think that's a great new take. And I appreciate hearing a new perspective for sure. So this past year, like I mentioned earlier, National Geographic chose two of your photos to be in the top 36 photos in a year-long international competition, which is just insane. It's insane. So congratulations there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With over 19,000 entries, was that right? That's incredible.
Yeah,
that must have felt amazing, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was a bit mind blowing. I saw the first one, and then I always, of course, I look through everybody's to see what's included and the, you know, the collection in itself. And then another one popped up and I was, did I see that? Like I kind of went back and forth a couple times, like, no, that's not, you know, like it took a little bit for it to compute. And then it definitely just kind of blew my mind for a second. So,
that's incredible.
Still is blowing my mind, really.
But. Yeah. Well, I mean, it should be. And congratulations again
Thank you for that.
And those two photos, they were personal works of yours, correct?
One was personal and one was a birth photography photo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how did it come about to find yourself in being in this position to be chosen, two of your photos to be chosen out of more than 19,000?
The beginning of 2018, I set goals for myself, and nothing that I write down and whatever. It's just at the beginning of the year, I don't believe in resolutions, but I do believe in just goals. And so National Geographic was on my list. I had belonged to the Your Shot community, which I think has like a million photographers in it worldwide, for a couple of years, and had been submitting here and there, not anything that I had really focused on. And last year I decided to focus on that. And so I had been submitting to them over the course of the year, and had seven photos chosen throughout the year to be part of the Daily Dozen. So they pick 12 photos every day to feature. So those were huge moments for me. And then they kind of pop up these assignments that you can submit to, or these competitions that you can submit to. And so those were what I thought two of my best photos of the year. And so those were the two that I had submitted, and they were chosen.
And they thought so too. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's awesome. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about personal work here, because it's something that I know personally I don't do enough of. I thought that it would be one of the like driving factors. It was one of the driving factors to get into photography.
Yeah.
But then over time, it's become more and more professional. And now, really, I just kind of stick with just my iPhone for like personal photography and stuff.
Yeah.
It's easier to share photos.
Totally.
last year, I chatted with Jenny Stein on the podcast, who she talks a lot about doing a 365, a Project 365. So after that interview, some members in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group started inquiring about a 365 and even started doing one this year. So in the group, Carrie, who is just going hard right now on her Project 365, every day she uploads a new photo. And it's great to see her work progress. But when I asked her what she would want to hear from you, what questions she would ask you, she wanted to know, as an established photographer, what are your goals doing a personal 365 and how do you make time for it? I know that was a lot to unpack, so I'll give you a second.
My goals for the 365 have changed every year. I'm actually in my fifth year of doing a 365. So
incredible.
At this point in time, like, it would feel weird for me to not do it because it has just become part of our life and part of my workflow. And so what I've done every year is I have focused on one thing to work on. And in the first year it was light because that's where I was at. And in the second year I worked on composition. And in the third year I worked on putting myself in the frame more, because that was what I had noticed looking back on the project, was that I was vacant, right?
Very common for photographers, very common for mothers, especially
with two young kids. I mean, we have three children now. Our two youngest are only 11 months apart. So, like, you know, we were really in the thick of things and body wise. And like, I don't want to put myself in front of a camera, but you have to, because otherwise how are they going to see you? Right. So, I think the next year, like, I movement, you know, things like that. Every year I kind of honed in on something different every year and focused on that. Now in my fifth year, my goal is just to, I don't shoot as much anymore. I feel like in the past years I've been really like, I gotta get this. And I've relaxed. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to relax. My kids are 6 and 7 and 13. So like, they're all in school, you know, and, I don't feel as much pressure anymore. I'm just going to document us, you know, as I see us and celebrate us. So that's kind of was my goal this year, was to just chill out. I didn't know even if I was going to do another 365. I feel like at the end of December every year, I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take a year off. And then I kind of just, you know, I feel like I would be lost without it. So, I just keep
that's
going.
Hilarious.
I just keep going. So,
yeah. So how do you, you said that obviously the kids are in school now during the day, and then you don't shoot as much. Can you tell me what that means? You don't shoot as much, because obviously you're still shooting every day.
Yeah, I'm still shooting every day. I'm very conscious now about getting my shot and then putting the camera down. Especially too, because now that they are older, I mean, I've been really lucky that my kids, are welcoming of it. You know, I've heard of photographers starting them and their kids just like hate the camera. Like, they're like, get that away from me every time they pull it out. My kids are not like that at all. But I'm conscious of getting what I need and then just putting it away. Like, okay, now I'm just going to carry on throughout my day. And then if I see something later on, then sure, maybe I'll take another shot. But I feel like in the past years, it was out all the time and I was constantly striving to get something. Like, maybe I didn't like that shot. Maybe I wanted to get another one, but I feel like my confidence has grown. What I want to capture and what I want to preserve for them. I see it, I take it, and then I leave it. So
how long
I think
did that
that's
take to hone that discipline?
It's only really been in the past couple of years. I feel like maybe year three it started, where I was like, okay, yeah, like, you know, I think that so it's only like every so often I'll come up to my computer at night when everybody goes to bed and I'll upload, and it, you know, it doesn't happen very often where I'm like, oh no, I don't I don't like that at all. Like I feel like I've got it. But that really has only just been recent. But it's been a good progression. Like I constantly felt like I was getting better. So it's not as if there was this void where like I wasn't getting better. When you do a 365 and when you shoot every day, there is no way that you're not going to progress. Mm-hmm. Like you are going to get better every day. That's just the fact of it. You're picking up, you're experimenting, you're shooting every day, you're looking through that viewfinder, you're working on your composition, you're going to get better. So that's what I love about it.
So I think, and I could be totally wrong, so this could be a terrible question, but we're going to try it out anyway.
Sure.
I think that when you have the constraints of a 365, like your goal is to get one good photo every day, right? Mm-hmm. And then you put a lot of weight on that. So you're like, that one photo has to be a great photo. And every day you go out and try to get something, but and I'm sure do you guys get much snow up there in, it's the western half of Canada, right?
Yeah. We're on the very, very west coast.
Okay. Yeah. So here in the Midwest, it's very snowy and cold and you really don't leave your house like unless you have to.
Yeah.
And in times like this, if we're stuck at home, what do we shoot? Like what should we be focusing on? What should we look for?
Well, I'll tell you that like, not every day is going to be a great photo. Not every day is going to be an award winning photo. And I think that a lot of people struggle with that. Me and my husband have chosen to share my project on social media. So I'm literally posting my photo every single day and have for 5 years. And not everyone is amazing, but it's amazing to my kids, mm-hmm. right? Essentially, this project is for them. So while it's not going to get me 300 likes, it's going to have a connection and have a purpose for my kids in later years. So that's what I always have to think back on. And so that's where social media gets a bit tricky, where there's this like constant need to produce this mind blowing work. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you post something and you're like, wow, like that is my best work. And then sometimes it's like, meh, but that ends up being one of the photos that my kids will see and they'll be like, oh, I remember that day. And I remember. And so you got to kind of bring it. I always, in my mind, I was like, you got to bring it back home because that's what this is for. This project is for them. And so for me, that's what it is for me. I mean, people can have their project for different purposes, but for most photographers, that's generally, it's a keepsake, right? It's a story of your days. And so in regards to, you know, having crappy weather and having to stay inside, we get a lot of rain. And so I find that that's when my creativity comes through, when I can't rely on the beautiful backlight or the stunning ocean views because it's pouring down rain. That's where I'm like, okay, what can I do inside? What can I capture? How can I see this differently? And after 5 years, like, you know, I've been photographing the same children in the same house for 5 years. So it's like, you know, how can I reignite this space? You know, how can I see the same kind of subject and thing, but differently? And so I use things like prisms and double exposures. I've been working really hard on this year. Free lensing. And I always, I bring it back to the details because we live on Vancouver Island, which I don't know if you've looked it up, but it is gorgeous. I always do these big, expansive, beautiful shots of my kids in, you know, in this wonderful place, but I often forget to photograph just the tiny details. And so, in those dark, gloomy days, I'll photograph the wisps of hair on my daughter's neck or, you know, my 13-year-old son's hands, or because those are things that are important as well. Mm-hmm. So that's always, you know, I just kind of bring it back to the details.
Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to today's show in just a moment. Do you want your photos to have more life? Do you want to know exactly what camera settings to use and why? Well, professional photographers all over the world capture beautiful images by shooting in manual mode. Why? Because it unlocks your camera's full potential. But how do you know what settings you should use? Well, I want to break that down for you in my free ebook, Picture Perfect Camera Settings, which you can download over at perfectcamerasettings.com. In the book, I'm going to share different lighting situations that you'll find yourself in, and photos that I've captured with real camera settings, and how to know which settings to change to get the look that you want. So don't wait. Download your free copy over at perfectcamerasettings.com to unlock your camera's full potential. Now, let's get back to today's interview. That was an incredibly personal answer, and I think that it's going to be one that that the listeners are really going to appreciate, because it is, I know from experience that, you know, just shooting inside, it can become a chore, and hearing your take on it, you know, thinking about the future rather than how many likes you're going to get today on social media is really something that you know, we got to learn how to control, you know, ourselves. And that was just I got a lot out of that that statement, and again, I really appreciate that. Okay, so next question. On your website, it says that you are a birth, documentary, and lifestyle photographer. So real quick, for those who are unaware, can you clarify the difference between documentary and lifestyle photography?
That's a bit of a tricky one. And a lot of people want to, like, sort of put themselves in a box. They're either documentary or they're either lifestyle. I choose to put both on my website because I am a little bit of both. And so documentary essentially is like not changing, not directing, not changing the scene, not turning off any lights, not decluttering, that sort of stuff. Whereas lifestyle has a minimal amount of direction with your families. And so I really do, I shoot day in the life sessions, which are like strictly documentary. I'm just an observer. I'm just documenting what I see. And then all of my other family work, maternity, newborn, families, is all lifestyle. So there's really minimal direction. I focus on the connection and the love, and families. And I've just chosen, and the birth work is documentary, obviously, as well. Of course, yeah. And so it kind of just all mixes really well together. And I've just tried to not put myself in a box and just allowed myself to capture love essentially in all of its forms. So
gotcha.
That's what I've built my business around.
So, you said that for your day in the life sessions, they are primarily, documentary type work.
Yeah.
So when would it be appropriate to do more of a lifestyle type shoot? Like how do you decide between the two? If you were to show up to a house today, you know, family, I saw very recently, you posted, I believe it was a child's like first birthday, like their day in the life session with a, so if you were to show up in that situation, do you make a conscious decision on whether or not you're going to just let the day unravel in front of you, or if you are going to make some small adjustments to the scene in front of you, or is there a hard line in when you do which?
It's their choice. So when they're booking the session, they're either booking a day in the life or they're booking a lifestyle family session. And I can do, you know, we have the choice to do lifestyle family out in the wild, or we can do it in their home. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a bit more of like, okay, we're going to go in the bedroom now. We're going to come and sit on the couch, come and tickle on the couch. Whereas like documentary, I'm literally just like, I'm just sneaking in and they're going about their day. Mm-hmm. So that's decided at booking. And so that's how I plan out. That's how I map out my session.
Wonderful. I love it. Okay. So then what drew you into birth photography?
I've been a birth photographer for 6.5 years. I started my business. Sophie, our youngest, our third, was only just a few months old when I had discovered birth photography. I, I came across an article online in the New York Times while I was nursing her on Lindsay Stone, who was the first birth photographer. And it was kind of just my, like, it was my aha moment, because I had been shooting families for probably about 3 years, kind of on and off as I was having babies. And I was kind of stuck. I was stuck doing what I thought I should be doing. I was stuck doing what everybody else was doing. And I thought, well, this is the way that my photography is supposed to be. I guess this is what everybody else is doing.
What do you mean by that? You mean like style of work?
Just, or yeah, like it was mostly just posed family photography. You know, you'd go out to a park and everybody would sit down in a blanket and they'd turn and smile at you and that was it.
Yeah.
And so I would still be shooting the in-between moments. And then I would deliver them to the clients with their turning and smiling photos. And I was finding that those were the moments that I was more drawn to. And it seemed to be the moments that they were more drawn to. And so it was kind of a slow progression into a change in my business where I felt that I didn't have to stick with what was kind of expected. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I'd had my babies and I actually pondered becoming a labor and delivery nurse because I felt so at home in that environment, but I knew that I needed a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. So when I came across the article on birth photography, it was like a light had just like gone on off in my world. And so I had called my husband and said, I think I know what I want to do when I grow up. He was like, okay. Yeah. And then I said, you know, I'm going to need your support. Like you got to be 100% on board because there's an on-call component, right? Where like I'm on call and that affects our life greatly. And also that means I'm building a business from the ground up, you know, and educating the public on what birth photography is. So it was a hustle for sure. And I knew that if I didn't start it then, that I would kind of miss the boat on it. And it was a tricky time. Like I said, my two youngest are only 11 months apart. My youngest was only three. Like I was raising these two tiny babies mm-hmm. and starting a business and up in the middle of the night shooting births and just trying to get the work out there to show people what it was. Because at that point in time, there was only a handful of us that were shooting birth and it was unknown really. Now of course it's more mainstream. So that was my start into birth photography. And that's where my business just went, like it skyrocketed. It took off from there.
That's awesome. Can you tell me about your first birth client, having never shot a birth before? Can you tell me how they found you and any ways to just tell me how it turned out?
Well, it's kind of a funny story because I had shot three births for portfolio building sessions. So I had put out a model call and received some callbacks. The first one, I actually missed it.
Which is a very good lesson
in preparation and client communication. And so I showed up just a few minutes after she had given birth. So she technically is my first, but I actually wasn't there for the whole thing. And so my second birth, which I was there from beginning to end, was actually a family whose son had spinal bifida. They had found out at one of their ultrasounds that was what was happening for them. And so she, a very emotional mom, had met me after answering my model call and said that she knew that she wanted to do it because there was so much chaos and stress around the birth that mm-hmm. she knew she wouldn't be present. And so she wanted somebody there to document it so that she could see afterwards, you know, what was going on, and also so that she could see the beauty in it, because even in a regular birth, people have this fear about what it's going to be like. And so finding the beauty in those very intense moments can be so helpful for mothers after birth. And I think that they, and I mean, I know just from my clients' testimonials that they decrease the risk of postpartum depression for them because they have a greater understanding of what happened to them. They can see, they see things in a different way. They see things how I am, how I've seen them. You know, the story kind of passes through me there. So, so that was my first birth experience, was this family who had this beautiful boy who had spinal bifida, and she wanted to make sure that I was capturing everything for them. So
how did it go after the fact? What did they say? Because from it sounds like from that first meeting or communication that you had with them, she sounds like a perfect client. She knew the beauty of it. She knew that she wouldn't be, you know, present, and that she wanted outside eyes to capture this moment of her life. How did it go?
It went great.
Yeah.
It went really well. I keep in touch with them, you know, I keep in touch with them, and I follow, he's now almost a 7-year old boy.
That's awesome.
And so I followed their journey very closely with him, and, you know, and as a young little boy having spinal bifida. And, it was a really, I think that it was a, although it was, you know, a bit of a more stressful birth than normal. I think it was a good way for me to start my career, really. They were the perfect family for that. So,
yeah. And since then, I'm sure that after that birth, you were like, this is it. This is definitely what I want to do, for sure. How have you found to be the best way to attract clients looking for birth photography? Because it's one of those things where some people have lots of reservations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just like putting the work out there in the world. I mean, it's up to my clients how much they want to share. And I just think that over the years, there's a certain safety with me. And so I haven't had very many clients that haven't been okay to share. And so a lot of my work gets put out there. And so the more that people see it, the more that they understand it. Mm-hmm. And I always suggest a meeting. And so I feel like once people sit down with me and we chat about any reservations, it all kind of melds away for them. So
is that the biggest reservation that they have? Just the privacy issue?
There's a privacy issue. And, you know, I find most of the time it's husbands. Mm-hmm. Husbands have a bit more of like a reserve for having somebody in the room with them. Yeah. And I think that meeting, I mean, it's better now, but definitely over the years, it's definitely been either financially or just a privacy thing that they don't mm-hmm. want to share this moment with anybody else. But once they meet me, and get to know me. And that's part two of like where my 365 project comes in, because I'm sharing so much of my life online. People already get a bit of a sense of who I am. You know, I'm pretty real online. So if they follow me, they kind of feel like they already know who I am. And so that's helped greatly. But I think then sitting down with families and chatting with them, then I become not a stranger on the day, but part of the birth team. And so when I walk into the room and, you know, they're laboring and they're like, I'm a familiar face, I'm a friendly face, and I'm, you know, a safe face for them. And so that's definitely been helpful.
Yeah, I bet. I would imagine. We have two children as well. We have a 6 and a 2-year-old.
No.
And I don't know, maybe I'm weird in thinking of it, but I thought, you know, if my wife wants somebody in the room, that's kind of her call.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. That's interesting to hear. I would think I would have loved to have had a birth photographer, because kind of for all the reasons that you've mentioned, it'd be nice to be present. I almost passed out both times because it's just it's a lot going on, you know, and having somebody to have captured that and just the whole experience would have been wonderful. So when it comes to finding those new clients, so I think that we stepped over that. How are moms finding you? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear, like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
Well, I networked really well with the other birth professionals in my area. So I became close with the midwives and the doulas. And so it was just like a, you know, I think that the biggest thing that you need to do is just network. You need to get the work seen, and then you need to network within the birthing community. You know, go to the mom groups and hand out your cards. You know, that's what I did. I mean, I literally would go to the play groups with my kids, and I'd have my cards in my back pocket, and I would, you know, approach pregnant women, you know, just strike up a conversation and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Take a look at my website. And so, you know, and you'll hit some reservations, but it's good just to open up the conversation about it and meet people. And so that was really how I kind of got my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And then the more work you do and the more that people, you know, word of mouth is, you know, everything. It's the best thing really. Yeah. And so if you're passionate and you're doing a great job, people are going to book you. They're going to continue to book you. And so, I just made sure that I was just doing my best. I was giving it 110%. So
is that the same, is that what you would suggest to somebody brand new, kind of trying to get into birth photography, who's never shot a birth before, is to print out cards and find pregnant women and say, hey, here's my card. Let me shoot your birth.
Yeah, I think like if you're just starting and you've got a page, I think putting it out there on social media, because there's going to be people that are willing to like, maybe they can't afford to hire a birth photographer that's been doing it for however many years, but they want to have, and then maybe they want to help you out. Maybe you've got a friend or, you know, your sister's friend or something like that. And then I think it's just, there's also, especially in a hospital and a medical environment, there are certain protocols that you need to follow. Mm-hmm. There are so many great birth photography communities online now that you can join them and you can chat with other birth photographers about what they do in a hospital situation. So I think that that's the most important. And that's kind of what we're seeing now as like the first wave of birth photographers. And then there's a new wave that have come through, is that we've kind of all learned the ropes in the hospital situations. And so now we're kind of teaching the new ones, you know, so that everybody's following protocol and nobody's overstepping. And I think that's the biggest kind of lesson to learn in all of that. And so, yeah, I think that just putting it out there and finding people and reaching out to a birth photography community to ask questions is kind of the best way to get started. And then you can build up your confidence.
Are those groups that you're referring to, are they local groups? Or are they large, like international groups?
There's a few really large ones. The International Birth Photography Association has one.
Can anybody join that, or do they have to be certified?
I think that you do have to be certified to be with them. Birth Becomes Her. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be certified to join them. And then there are for us on Vancouver Island in Canada, we have our own group. And so I think that if you're curious, there's definitely ways to, and if you were to ask in any one of the online communities, you know, where to find a birth photography group, you'd probably get 50 answers. Everybody Perfect. Would answer you. So,
well, I'll definitely link to that in the show notes if I can find it for sure. okay. You talked earlier about shooting day in the life sessions, which
yeah.
I think is so cool. That's got to be something that I've always had this dream of, like when I was in high school, to be able to just like follow a band around, right? For like 6 months, yeah. Or like have some sort of like long-term project to where you don't know what's going to happen by the end of, you know, your journey, but you yeah. want to be able to capture it all so that you can go back and tell that story. And when it comes to like day in the life family sessions, that's kind of how I see that as well, right? You show up in the morning, you don't really know what's going to happen. And then by the end of it, you're hoping to have, you know, a nice little portfolio of images to deliver. So can you kind of walk me through stuff like time requirements for something like that? And then also, what is your goal for those day in the life sessions?
Well, my day in the life sessions are booked in 4, 8, or 12 hour sessions. So the family gets to choose how long they want me there for. And then they also get to choose what they want me to capture. So questions that I ask them are like, what's important to you in your day? Like, what are some things that you want to capture? Do you want to go somewhere? Do you want to just stay at home? So these are all conversations that I have with my clients beforehand. And I find that a lot of people, it's the morning. The mornings are very sacred to families, and they're sacred to us too. Like our Saturday or Sunday mornings are, you know, they're wonderful, right? I mean, I'm sure I would love to actually capture the hustle and the craziness of a school morning, but you know, Saturday mornings are slow and they're easy. And so, you know, when I say to them, like, we can go to the park, we can go to the beach, we can go to the grandparents' house, we can, I follow wherever you go, I follow, we can go to the grocery store, you know? And so, they decide kind of how the day is going to be mapped out. And I just document all the little moments in between. Sorry, what was the second half of the question?
As far as a goal for a day in the life session, what are you trying to capture?
I kind of started doing these because I knew that it was something that I would want for my family. So when I'm capturing these families, I kind of put myself in that position where I'm like, what kind of keepsake would I want to end up with? And so it's kind of a mixture between the conversations I have with them, what they want to capture, and then what I think as an end product, you know, when they're looking at this, when their kids are graduating or when they're having grandchildren, like what is the memory that you want to preserve for them from this one day? And so, you know, often at the end, and not every client chooses to have film, but I do do these little short family films for them. And so in the end product, I want them to be able to feel the feelings they felt that day. I want it to trigger memories, smells, tastes, like, you know, the creak of the floorboards in the house or just things like that. So I want to make sure that I'm capturing those things because you never know for people what part of an image is going to trigger that memory for them. You know, what sound is going to bring them right back to that moment. So that's kind of my goal, is to provide something timeless for them to watch 20 years from now. So,
and to just be able to immerse themselves back in that moment, just
totally back in that morning, back in that day. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you've never been to like a client's house, this is something that, that I've kind of become very interested in, just recently. And it's kind of like this creative brain. I really want to know more about how the creative brain works. And there's more than just one way for that creatives work. So do you think that creativity for you involves just putting your heart and soul into your work, just planning out every little detail, becoming a perfectionist, or is it letting your mind just flow freely to witness whatever happens?
That's a good question. I feel like it's a little bit of both. Am I allowed to say?
Am
I allowed
to say that?
There's a third option. I pick C. I am very controlled. Like I, you know, I have that like sort of A-type personality. But as a documentarian, I have taught myself to step back and observe and document. And so part of me is trying to be creative but also be true to what's happening. So it's a bit of a balance, especially with those kinds of sessions. And it's sort of true for my 365 project too. Like I'm trying to document what's happening, but also in a creative way. So I don't know if that helps your answer.
It does help. For a little bit more clarification, can you give me an example of maybe a personal shot that you've taken where maybe you wanted more strict, a following of the rules for a photo, or the complete opposite, where maybe everything was going too, down the line and you wanted it to be more whimsical? Or if you don't, like if you can't think of one off the top of your head, what would you do in that situation?
In the situation where I was documenting something but wanted to like put a different spin on it, is that?
Yeah, I suppose. Like you were having trouble putting your own spin on it.
Well, I think it kind of takes me back to like the indoor rainy, raininess of the west coast of Canada. Yeah. And where, I remember this one time it was like rain, it rained for like a week. Like it just rained and rained and rained and rained. And we were going squirrely. Like we were going squirrely inside the house. And I wanted to document that, but I didn't want it to be, well, I guess I could bring the kids out in their umbrellas and, whatever. And then that's where they create, I'm like, well, I could somehow like do a double exposure with this, right? Like I could create sort of the somber look of what we're going through inside, but then bring the rain in. And so I took a portrait of my son, a black and white portrait of my oldest son inside. And then I photographed the rain. I did an in-camera double exposure, and I photographed the rain on our windows and then, put them together. And so that was where, and that was a few years ago, like they were kind of, double exposures were kind of just coming out at that point in time. And it was, I had to Google how to do it,
I'm sure people still today Google.
We're still Googling. Yeah. We're still Googling how to do it. It's very tricky. So that was when I was kind of trying to, capture, but then wanting to kind of break the rules and mix it up a little bit. So,
okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Is there something that you do to put yourself in a creative mindset?
There's not something that I specifically do. No, I think that I don't leave that space often. Mm-hmm. Well, because especially with capturing your family every day, like, the camera is out and I'm constantly looking and I'm constantly aware. And so as a house of creatives, my husband is an artist and the kids are like playing music and drawing. I mean, this is a creative environment. So we're always kind of in that creative cloud happening.
Do you ever feel like you show up to a day in the life session or a birth and think to yourself, like, just feel like you're not feeling it that day? I'm like, oh, I gotta go to work, and so I'll be honest, I feel that way sometimes showing up to weddings, and it's not, it's still, a good day, but you do it for several years and you're bound and determined to have at least one of those days. Is there something that you do in those moments to kind of put yourself back in line?
I'm always like, I think for birth, that's true for birth, especially because often, you've been on call for months at a time. Often you're called out in the middle of the night. You don't want to get out of bed. Yeah. Maybe it's been a rough day at home and now you got to like go to work and you got to be on. Like you can't do this halfway, right? Yeah. There's been times where I've definitely sort of slugged my way along. But once you're there and you're in it, it just turns on, mm-hmm. right? It just kind of turns on. And that's kind of what I rely on, where I'm like, I know that once I get there and I get going, it's not going to be an issue.
Right.
And so day in the life, like, there was just recently, actually the little boy who turned one while I was there that weekend, I shot his birth. And I had actually had a birth on the Friday. So I was scheduled to see them on the Saturday and I had a birth happen on the Friday. And so I just emailed them and was like, if we could change it to Sunday, like you're going to get the best version of Ashley Marston yeah. that you possibly can. Because if I come Saturday morning, like
it's going to be rough.
I'm just going to be honest, like, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, no big deal. Like it's totally, was not an issue at all. And that's, you know, that's a conversation even that I have with my clients, because I mean, there's always a chance that I'm going to get called out to a birth. And so if you're going to book a session like that, and there's always a slight possibility that we might have to change things up. So everybody's pretty on board. And I think it's just being knowing yourself and being like, okay, if there's room to change this, then let's just make some adjustments. And then I showed up Sunday morning and was 100% my best self. Yeah. So, you know,
that was I looked through the whole blog and it was, just great, incredible photos. And I know that I would be thrilled to have photos like that of our family, especially the photo with everybody in their robes with mom and dad drinking coffee with the little boy. That was such a great photo.
That wasn't like totally like they synchronized, like was not even remotely. I didn't even tell them to do anything.
They just
I laughed and I said to them, like, you guys completely like synchronized coffee drinking. And then he looked right at me and I was like, that is the perfect shot. that sums up parenthood with a 1-year-old all in one frame.
I love those happy accidents for sure.
Me too.
Well, Ashley, I have taken far too much of your time. You've been so gracious with me and answering every question that I have, thrown at you. I got one last question, and that is, I want to know what advice you would give to somebody just breaking into photography. It doesn't necessarily have to be birth, but just somebody who's smart and they're driven and they want to make a go at this, whether through a business or just through personal, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to shoot what they love, find what they love to shoot and go for it. Because if you're trying to be somebody else, if you're trying to go with the masses and shoot what you think you should be shooting, then your success will not come as quickly. I think that it really shows in your work when you are shooting things that you are really passionate about and people see that right away and they're drawn to it. And so just be yourself and shoot what you love.
Beautiful. So. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Ashley, can you let the listeners know where they can find you online to follow along and check out your work?
Well, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I post every single day. So you can definitely follow along with what we're doing daily. So
perfect. Ashley, again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I truly appreciate you, and I can't wait to follow along more in depth into your own 365. I was going to say 365, and then I decided halfway through your own project, and hopefully start doing something like that for myself. So again, Ashley, thank you for coming.
It's never
on
too late. Thank you so much.
Oh man, that was one of those interviews where, you know, you go into it and you think that you've prepared and that you've asked these questions that you hope are having a black and white answer. And unfortunately, it's just not. No, I take that back. And fortunately, it is not that way. I misspoke. It is not that way. And it's incredible because you get answers that you weren't expecting in the first place. And just my biggest takeaway for sure was hearing Ashley's take on doing her 365. She's been doing it for 5 years. So if anybody knows about doing a 365, it's her. And, you know, her saying that you are going to have some days where you are struggling, where you are having a hard time creating a photo, but you still got to do it. You got to push yourself creatively and you got to create something. The photo might not be the best thing in the world, but you did it. You know, you're capturing these things. And in the future, these photos are going to be so much more important than they are to you now. That was definitely my biggest takeaway as I've tried doing the 365 before, and I always found myself to be discouraged for that exact reason. You go out, you know, especially because you usually start one in January, and here in the Midwest, it's very cold, and you know, you're all excited for like a month. And then after that month, you're like, what else is there to take pictures of around this house? You know, we can't go outside. And once again, hearing her take, Ashley, it was great. It was great to hear and very inspiring as well. So Ashley, if you're listening, if that's the one thing that I took away, I truly appreciate it. And it's something that I'm going to incorporate into my own life. So again, thank you. But if you are thinking like bad days, like singular bad days, you know, shooting photography, that's every day for me. I know nothing of what I'm doing. I'm here to learn more about photography. Then I want to invite you to sign up for our free 2-day photography bootcamp video series, which you can do over at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. You will learn things like how to shoot manual. You will learn the basics of composition and even lighting and what goes into telling a story through a photograph. So that's it. If you're interested, once again, head over to beginnerphotographypodcast.com to sign up. So I'm going to keep these nice and short. That is it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Until next week, I want you to get out there. I want you to keep shooting, even if that means that, you know, you're just going to get photos that today you don't think are important, because in the future, they will be. So that is it. Keep shooting, focus on yourself, and stay safe. All right? I love y'all.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And continue the conversation with Raymond and other listeners of the podcast by joining the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group today. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.